It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chow.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. You listen to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. We're live from the Jethro Studios, 94.9 Grand Rapids and 99.5 in Lowell. Good to be here, Barbecue Bob. Labor Day is on us. This is the last official weekend of the summer, and we need to be talking about what you're cooking on your grill this summer. End of the summer, that is. I'm Jop. He is Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, thanks, buddy, and welcome to our new audience at Jethro. It's just a thrill to be here. It's like the rebirth. It is like the phoenix. We're rising up again. Right. And we're not going to let COVID take us down or any of the shenanigans going around in this place. But we are here to grill and thrill and teach you some skills. And that's what we do. That's what we like to do. It's, the, in my opinion, the best time of the year. Summer is finally manageable. I turned my air off this week, Jop.
Yep.
Opened up the screen windows. And
sleep,
you know,
like a baby.
Wake up at 56 degrees,
right.
And the birds chirping. I went out there Friday morning to feed the bird feeders, you know, and fill them. And, of course, I always save, like, breadcrumbs and all this stuff like this, crackers or anything.
So you know
like
how to get
that
back into the house, or are those for the birds?
No, I just like to throw a little extra. It's bait for the cats is what it
right,
is.
Right,
and
big hawk population
it's just
out there.
Really
yeah.
Nice to hear all the birds. And I got a menagerie of birds in our yard this year from that new feeder. And I actually stopped and started whistling a little bit to calm them down, because when I walk out there, they all book. You know, they're afraid. And so I just stood.
So are you like the Pied Piper of songbirds?
I stepped back, and I thought,
what,
I wondered,
man,
if I could, like, calm them. And I do this when I'm deer hunting. I do squirrel calls when I'm deer hunting, and all of a sudden the squirrels are coming in, and all the animals wake up.
Now, why would you want squirrels around you when you're deer hunting? All they're going to do is make noise, think you got a deer coming by
you. The squirrels are the hall monitors of the woods.
Oh, okay.
And the deer watch the birds and the squirrels and listen for them, and when all the squirrels just stop, the deer freak out.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, don't step any further.
Yeah.
There's somebody waiting to shoot me with an arrow. I just know it.
So what's going on? We're not hunting Labor Day. We will be. Stick with us in another couple weeks. We'll be diving right into the hunting shows. But right now, let's do a little camping. And guess what? College football starts this weekend, too. So there's got to be some tailgate talk going on as well. Right?
Well, we talked about our sponsors, Allen Bob's, and I just got a new target, so I'm shooting that. I'm getting out all my what I call fall camping gear, because stuff I'm going to take to deer camp, basically. So the tripods and the cast iron and all that stuff and the hobo pies. My wife camps all summer long with her girlfriends. And this year I've been on a rebuild of a couple projects and just busy, and I kind of don't mind when she just does it with her girlfriends, because it gets me off the hook.
Sure.
We don't have an RV right now, and I'm really not that tent friendly.
Which I don't sleep on no ground.
Which is why I just bought a 14x20 expedition tent.
Right, yeah. And a queen size mattress.
But but that'll be deer camp. And then, you know, then I'm ground friendly, because I'll be up on 14 inches of air.
Right.
Yep. You know, and you know, you go to bed pretty tired.
Right.
So it's easy.
Yep.
So what I'm going to be bringing up for camping in that regard is all kinds of equipment, which we can go through in the next segment or later on. But camping food is, everybody has their own idea.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just wanted to give people an idea as to what we like to camp with and some tips. And one of the things you have to do is you have to, of course, figure out your meal plans when you're camping, because you're only bringing those specific meals. You got to cool it, right?
Right.
And we go for 3 or 4 days at a time, and you got to keep it cold if it's hot out, and you got to yada, yada. You got to keep the bear out of it, the deer, cougar, whatever's around you. And raccoons is a biggie for a lot of people. So you want to get all your food figured out. What I like to do is prep it. And like if I'm making chili, I'll either make the chili in advance, or I'm going to cut up all my veggies in advance and have them in Ziploc bags. So when I get back to the cook stove and get ready to start making a meal, I don't have to stand there and make a big mess. You know,
right.
I just want to throw my ingredients in.
Right. Put them all together and get it going. I'm a huge proponent of doing stuff ahead of time, whatever it is. But that meal planning is a big deal. So let's start with breakfast, right? It's really easy over either a cook stove or an open fire to put a big cast iron skillet to work for you.
Yep.
Because the skillet is a universal tool. You can use it for any meal.
It's American.
Right. And there you'll hear us talk about one of Bob's favorite cast iron later because he'll bring it up. I'm not even going to do
it right now,
but he will.
Dutch oven.
And you'll know when I do it.
Dutch oven.
Yeah, right. The guy's not even Dutch, but boy, does he love his Dutch oven. But a big skillet, back to breakfast, right? You're going to bring some bacon. You're going to bring some eggs, and you're going to just do it up. Potatoes, onions, all of that stuff can go in the same skillet. Now, we have a very, very good sponsor of our show called Old World Olive Company. And they do olive oils and balsamic vinegars. You're going to hear this on the show almost every week because, as history goes, Bob thought I was crazy talking about oils and vinegars until we started using them. And now it's a staple in my kitchen. I hardly cook without oil or vinegar in any dish. I very rarely use butter.
Yeah,
I'll use olive oil.
Jop met him somewhere and came back and told me about it, and I'm yawning. I'm like, oh, right. Whatever, oil.
Yeah, right.
And then I tasted it.
Right. It's fresh. It's full of polyphenols. It's good for you.
There's a big word.
Right. You'll meet the proprietor of that as you listen to us as well. But back to breakfast. Put that butter-flavored olive oil in there, and you don't need a lot of it, just a little bit to make stuff move a little bit in the pan. And I don't particularly care to cook in bacon grease. I don't like eggs and bacon grease. But if you didn't want to use the olive oil,
you should have never said
you
that.
Can put the bacon in there first, get your grease going, and then cook your eggs and potatoes and onions. But you got to do it in time. But
dude, you know what I saw? They're actually selling bacon grease now in a container.
Right. So potatoes at camp, cut them up ahead of time, put them in a Ziploc bag, and put a little bit of orange lemon juice on them, and they won't turn black.
Is that right?
Right.
Yeah, I don't mind. The potatoes I'll cut up on a picnic table or something. But
onions, same way, cut up. And I'm going to brown those in there with the potatoes and onions, put them to the side of the skillet, and then if you wanted to do that in bacon grease, you could do it. If not, the olive oil, and then do your eggs in there. And you've got one skillet, scoop it out, one mess. And the thing with cast that is so cool is that you don't need water to clean it. You just need a little scrubby, maybe a little half a cup of water, but never any soap.
No.
Right?
I'm going to put a little water in it when it's still hot
to
try and get some of the little critters out of there and stuff, and then just dump it out and wipe it.
Right.
But my wife is also a good prepper. One of the things she's learned, and we're going to use a few of her tricks here because she's turned into quite the outdoor girl, but she started cracking our eggs in advance and putting them in a mason jar in the cooler. We no longer have busted eggs in our cooler. So you just crack them in advance and put them in a mason jar, put a lid on it, and then you dump out however many you need at a time. It's fantastic.
Wow.
And it saves space in the cooler.
Well, wow, that is cool. I've never done that because you're right.
Simple little thing.
That egg carton's going to get knocked around and you're going to break
some. It's going to get smashed. Yeah.
Yep.
And then you got egg yolk all over.
And you can keep them. You can keep them 2 or 3 days in
that
jar?
Oh, easily. Yeah.
As long as you keep them cold, huh?
Yeah.
Wow. Pretty cool. And they pour out one at a time.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Neat.
It's actually better because as you're putting them in the jar, you'll see whether or not you get any shells in there. Unlike cracking them and putting them in there.
Right. And then they get a little crunchy. Right?
A little bit.
Yep. So anyway, we're going to keep talking about this prepping food because I think it's important because you got to bring water to camp, right? If you're camping rustic and you got to bring water to camp, freeze it up. Use it as a dual purpose. Bring it in bigger jugs, freeze it up, and then you can cook with it as well. Simple little tip. But it takes up cooler space, and you get a dual purpose for it. Coming up next, root vegetables and roasting on a spit. Not sure what that is, but stick with us. We'll be back.
The Grillin' Guys are happy to introduce Fen Valley Vineyards. Fen Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fen Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard Orinsaugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to fenvalley.com.
It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chow.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. You listen to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. We're live from the Jethro Studios, 94.9 Grand Rapids and 99.5 in Lowell. Good to be here, Barbecue Bob. Labor Day is on us. This is the last official weekend of the summer, and we need to be talking about what you're cooking on your grill this summer. End of the summer, that is. I'm Jop. He is Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, thanks, buddy. And welcome to our new audience at Jethro. It's just a thrill to be here. It's like the rebirth. It is like the phoenix. We're rising up again. Right. And we're not going to let COVID take us down or any of the shenanigans going around in this place. But we are here to grill and thrill and teach you some skills. And that's what we do. That's what we like to do. It's, in my opinion, the best time of the year. Summer is finally manageable. I turned my air off this week, Jop. Yep. Opened up the screen windows. And,
sleep,
you know,
like a baby.
Wake up at 56 degrees, right. And the birds chirping. I went out there Friday morning to feed the bird feeders, you know, and fill them. And, of course, I always save, like, breadcrumbs and all this stuff like this, crackers or anything.
So you know
like
how to get
that
back into the house, or is this for the birds?
No, I just like to throw a little extra. It's bait for the cats is what it
right,
is.
Yeah.
And,
big hawk population out there.
It's really nice to hear all the birds. And I got a menagerie of birds in our yard this year from that new feeder. And I actually stopped and started whistling a little bit to calm them down, because when I walk out there, they all book, you know, they're afraid. And so I just stood.
So are you like the Pied Piper of songbirds?
I stepped back and
I wondered
if I could like calm them. And I do this when I'm deer hunting. I do squirrel calls when I'm deer hunting, and all of a sudden the squirrels are coming in and all the animals wake up.
Now, why would you want squirrels around you when you're deer hunting? All they're going to do is make noise and think you got a deer coming by you.
The squirrels are the hall monitors of the woods.
Oh, okay.
And the deer watch the birds and the squirrels and listen for them. And when all the squirrels just stop, the deer freak out.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, don't step any further.
Yeah.
There's somebody waiting to shoot me with an arrow. I just know it.
So what's going on? We're not hunting Labor Day. We will be. Stick with us in another couple weeks. We'll be diving right into the hunting shows. But right now, let's do a little camping. And guess what? College football starts this weekend, too. So there's got to be some tailgate talk going on as well. Right?
Well, we talked about our sponsors, Allen Bob's, and I just got a new target, so I'm shooting that. I'm getting out all my what I call fall camping gear, because stuff I'm going to take to deer camp, basically. So the tripods and the cast iron and all that stuff and the hobo pies. My wife camps all summer long with her girlfriends. And this year I've been on a rebuild of a couple projects and just busy. And I kind of don't mind when she just does it with her girlfriends, because it gets me off the hook.
Sure.
We don't have an RV right now, and I'm really not that tent friendly.
Which I don't sleep on no ground.
Which is why I just bought a 14x20 expedition tent.
Right, yeah. And a queen size mattress.
But
yeah.
But that'll be deer camp. And then, you know, then I'm ground friendly, because I'll be up on 14 inches of air.
Right.
Yep. You know, and you know, you go to bed pretty tired.
Right.
So it's easy.
Yep.
So what I'm going to be bringing up for camping in that regard is all kinds of equipment, which we can go through in the next segment or later on. But camping food is, everybody has their own idea.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just wanted to give people an idea as to what we like to camp with and some tips. And one of the things you have to do is you have to, of course, figure out your meal plans when you're camping, because you're only bringing those specific meals. You got a cooler, right?
Right.
And we go for 3 or 4 days at a time, and you got to keep it cold if it's hot out, and you got to yada yada. You got to keep the bear out of it, the deer, cougar, whatever's around you. And raccoons is a biggie for a lot of people. So you want to get all your food figured out. What I like to do is prep it. And like if I'm making chili, I'll either make the chili in advance, or I'm going to cut up all my veggies in advance and have them in Ziploc bags. So when I get back to the cook stove and get ready to start making a meal, I don't have to stand there and make a big mess. You know,
right.
I just want to throw my ingredients in.
Right. Put them all together and get it going. I'm a huge proponent of doing stuff ahead of time, whatever it is. But that meal planning, is a big deal. So let's start with breakfast, right? It's really easy over either a cook stove or an open fire to put a big cast iron skillet to work for you.
Yep.
Because the skillet is a universal tool. You can use it for any meal.
It's American.
Right. And there you'll hear us talk about one of Bob's favorite cast iron later because he'll bring it up. I'm not even going to do
Dutch
it right
oven.
Now, but he will.
Dutch
you'll,
oven.
And you'll know when I do it.
Dutch oven.
Yeah, right. The guy's not even Dutch, but boy, does he love his Dutch oven. But a big skillet, back to breakfast, right? You're going to bring some bacon. You're going to bring some eggs, and you're going to just do it up. Potatoes, onions, all of that stuff can go in the same skillet. Now, we have a very good sponsor of our show called Old World Olive Company. And they do olive oils and balsamic vinegars. You're going to hear this on the show almost every week because, as history goes, Bob thought I was crazy talking about oils and vinegars until we started using them. And now it's a staple in my kitchen. I hardly cook without oil or vinegar in any dish. I very rarely use butter.
Yeah,
I'll use olive oil.
Jop met him somewhere and came back and told me about it, and I'm yawning. I'm like, oh, right. Whatever, oil.
Yeah, right.
And then I tasted it.
Right. It's fresh. It's full of polyphenols. It's good for you.
There's a big word.
Right. You'll meet the proprietor of that as you listen to us as well. But back to breakfast. Put that butter-flavored olive oil in there, and you don't need a lot of it, just a little bit to make stuff move a little bit in the pan. And I don't particularly care to cook in bacon grease. I don't like eggs and bacon grease. But if you didn't want to use the olive oil,
you should have never said
you can
that.
Put the bacon in there first, get your grease going, and then cook your eggs and potatoes and onions. But you got to do it in time. But
dude, you know what I saw? They're actually selling bacon grease now in a container.
Right. So potatoes at camp, cut them up ahead of time, put them in a Ziploc bag and put a little bit of orange lemon juice on them, and they won't turn black.
Is that right?
Right.
Yeah, I don't mind the potatoes. I'll cut up on a picnic table or something.
Onions, same way, cut up. And I'm going to brown those in there with the potatoes and onions, put them to the side of the skillet, and then if you wanted to do that in bacon grease, you could do it. If not, the olive oil, and then do your eggs in there. And you've got one skillet, scoop it out, one mess. And the thing with cast that is so cool is that you don't need water to clean it. You just need a little scrubby, maybe a little a half a cup of water, but never any soap.
No.
Right?
I'm going to put a little water in it when it's still hot
to
try and get some of the little critters out of there and stuff, and then just dump it out and wipe it.
Right.
But my wife is also a good prepper. One of the things she's learned, and we're going to use a few of her tricks here because she's turned into quite the outdoor girl. But she started cracking our eggs in advance and putting them in a mason jar in the cooler. We no longer have busted eggs in our cooler. So you just crack them in advance and put them in a mason jar, put a lid on it, and then you dump out however many you need at a time. It's fantastic.
Wow.
And it saves space in the cooler.
Well, wow, that is cool. I've never done that because you're right.
Simple little thing.
That egg carton's going to get knocked around and you're going to break
some. It's going to get smashed. Yeah.
Yep.
And then you got egg yolk all over.
And you can keep them 2 or 3 days in the jar?
Oh, easily. Yeah.
As long as you keep them cold, huh?
Yeah.
Wow, pretty cool. And they pour out one at a time.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Neat.
It's actually better because as you're putting them in the jar, you'll see whether or not you get any shells in there. Unlike cracking them and putting them in there.
Right. And then they get a little crunchy.
A little bit.
Yep. So anyway, we're going to keep talking about this prepping food because I think it's important because you got to bring water to camp, right? If you're camping rustic and you got to bring water to camp, freeze it up. Use it as a dual purpose. Bring it in bigger jugs, freeze it up, and then you can cook with it as well. Simple little tip. But it takes up cooler space, and you get a dual purpose for it. Coming up next, root vegetables and roasting on a spit. Not sure what that is, but stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, in our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to Old World Olive Press.
I am a guy and I like fire.
The Grilling Guys.
You want any?
I'm going to cover some of those.
Yeah, okay. Okay, and go. Welcome back. You listen to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're live from the Jethro Country Twist Studios, 94.9 in Grand Rapids, 99.5 in Bob's hometown, Lowell, Michigan. Barbecue Bob, we kind of got a little long-winded there on the camp prep, but there's a couple things that you wanted to touch on as far as equipment,
I think. As I look at this Jethro logo, I can't help but think of Ellie Mae. I just wanted to put that in there.
Yeah, right. Short shorts, rope belt. Tablecloth top, all tied up at the waist.
I'm sure you liked,
I don't remember anything about
it. I think you
her.
Liked Miss Hathaway.
Yeah, right.
So, styles of cooking when you're out camping. At our deer camp, Ted's dad drove these four pieces of re-rod into the ground, and then he bent some square tubular. And so we have these two bars that go across our fire, and he brought us a big piece of honeycomb stainless. We've had that for like 15 years.
Yeah, and when it's sitting beside, up against a tree, and those two bars aren't there.
Some drunken crybaby might run into it.
You can trip over those stakes and land on a log and you beat the heck out of your body on those.
Let's just say that weekend was tough on job. It lasted a week. Anyway, I won't tell you any of the details unless you send me $100. But styles of cooking, you can use a grate. There's lots of ways to make a grate.
It's open fire.
Yep.
Right?
You can actually just bring some blocks up and stack them, you know, around the fire and set it across that. You can use rocks. You can buy a tripod. I have several tripods. And
well, explain what one of those is, because that can mean a lot of things.
Yeah. Well, it's just three pieces of metal with a pulley and a chain.
Right. And what hangs on the chain?
It's got a grate, generally.
Right.
One of my tripods is to hold my Dutch oven.
Right.
There's actually a tripod you can put your Dutch oven on and just hang it over the fire. Another really cool way to do it, by the way, because then it's up and out of the ash, and you don't have to blow the ash off the lid before you let it all get in your chili or stew or whatever you're making.
Right.
And there's also these devices that you pound a big stake in the ground, and it's got these various swing arms that go around. And those are really cool because one's a grate, one's a big hook for your pots.
Right.
You know, I don't know what they all are.
You
one's a griddle.
You build that beside the fire, and then it swings over the fire when you're using it.
Yeah. But, you know, you might run into that, too. So I don't know if I'd recommend
that. That's big enough. Those stakes that were in the ground were camouflaged with ferns. Yeah, until I rolled on the ground like a freaking fish out of water.
Didn't we put beer cans over them to make them illuminate after a while?
After I stumbled on them, yeah.
Those cans are still there.
Right.
So, and then in terms of equipment, yeah. Tripods, cast iron, anything. You know, I've got a ton of cast iron. One of our favorite sponsors was Lodge, and Lodge used to send us stuff from time to time. I miss them.
Right.
But baking at a campsite, my wife is a great baker.
Right.
You've
talked about her several times now in the show.
Well, she's, you know, she made chicken pot pie the other night, and I was watching her, and she just, when she's making pie crust, man, it's to die for.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And I try and stay away from it, but when she makes a pot pie or pasties, right, I'm all in.
Yep.
I don't care about my fat waist.
We'll get to that too. The pasties, that is, because that's something that is Bob's heritage from when he was a child.
That's right.
So we'll talk about that.
Do you ever do root veggies around a fire?
Yeah. So define for me what you want to talk about with root veggies. Which kind?
Well, pick your favorite root and you tell me.
Okay. So rutabaga, and then we've got carrots.
You like rutabaga?
Yeah, I do.
Do you?
Yeah, it's a little bit sweet. And
how would you do those around a fire? That's a big mumbo.
No. You got to slice them.
Oh, okay.
You got to slice them, but
peeling them is the worst part.
Well, yeah, but
because they put wax on them.
There again, it's that prep from home.
Yeah,
because I think you can do all that and slice them up and bring them in a.
How
in
about
a
turnip?
Yep, I'm okay with turnips.
They're good roasted.
Right,
and just like a beet. I know you don't like beets.
Right,
but if you ever roast one, buddy. And I'm telling you can just wrap a little foil on it with the skin on, dirt on. I don't care what's on it. Put it next to the fire for a half hour. Rotate it, 180, another half hour. Pull it off with mitts. Going to be hot. And then just let it sit on the picnic table for about an hour.
Really?
And then when you open it up, that skin is like, the root has decreased in size because of the steam it created or some reason. But that skin's real loose around it, and you just zip it open like some bag of popcorn.
Really?
And that little root will fall out of there. It tastes nothing like the beat that you...
My mother used to beat me with.
That you feared.
Right, yeah, exactly. Exactly. Now, do you put any seasoning on those?
Butter, salt, and pepper.
There you go.
They are so healthy for you.
Right.
And they're so good. They're full of antioxidants.
Yep.
And that's really good for, I don't know, I can't remember. Oh, yeah, your memory.
Right, yeah, exactly. So hobo pies are, I used to call them Tonka toasters,
yep.
The things, but yep. It's the little clam pack, right, that you put on there.
Robbie Russell loved them.
Right, and so there's it's square on the end or round. They could be either. And they got long handles on them, and you there's a hinge, and you put a piece of bread on one side, a piece of bread on the other, usually with some butter on the outside, not
looks
on
like
the inside.
Looks like a giant nutcracker.
Right, yep. And then what do you like putting in the middle of those? Because that's one of those things that it's as simple as peanut butter and jelly, or you can get as extravagant as you want inside of one of those little hobo pies.
Well, back in the 70s, up in Reed City, Michigan, we would camp with the Boy Scouts, and that's when I saw my first one. My parents were Upers. They didn't use anything like that. They had Dutch ovens and stuff like that, skillets. But that was a newer contraption in the 70s.
Right.
But we had them for Boy Scouts, and the Girl Scouts had their cookies. We had apple pie.
Oh, yeah. Yep, because you could buy... apple pie mix right in a jar,
yes.
Or the can, rather.
Yes.
And then just pour it in there and clamp that thing down.
Butter some cheap white bread.
Right.
Put your butter on the shell side.
Right.
Put your stuffing in the middle. Close it together. Peel off the crust because nobody wants that anyway.
Right. It's going to burn anyway on the fire, right? And then you put that thing over the fire, 2-3 minutes on one side, two on the other. Flip it a couple times doing that.
It's done.
Oh, man.
And guess what we never did?
What?
Waited for them to cool.
No, right.
No, you burnt the heck out of your mouth.
Right, yeah.
That lava.
Nuclear. All the skins got off the roof of your mouth when you have one of those.
So the Tonka toys are real nice to take.
Right. Tonka toasters is what they were called when I was growing up. But that was many moons ago, so they probably got a more modern, cool name than that now. But
another thing you can do is roast on a spit.
Mm-hmm.
The battery-powered spits are great to take camping.
Spit, a.k.a. rotisserie.
Yep.
Right? Yeah.
They sell these cool... all variations. You've bought several, but they have them that are actually battery-powered. If you don't have battery-powered, just take your power pack with you. And, like, I've got this big one from Napa that was – it'll run you for a week.
Yeah, right.
You plug it in. You put your inverter on there. You run that little rotisserie, it'll run for the whole week.
Yep. Now, what do you usually put on your spit?
Yes.
Everything.
Whatever.
Yep. I knew that was going to come.
There's so much good stuff.
Right. So let's talk about some spit techniques.
Like chicken?
No, but I think that it's important that when you use a rotisserie, it's got to be sturdy in the ground. And what's even most important is the sturdiness is where it's going to hold it, and that provides the rack
that
for the thing to spin
on. That your rod is thick enough.
Right.
Just like many things in life.
Right, because you don't want the food to bend the rotisserie spit, the rod, if you will, because then it'll lope when it turns. It won't turn smooth, and if it doesn't turn smooth, then it won't turn consistent, and you're going to get burns on one side if it struggles to lop that thing over.
Hey, if you just tuned in, you're listening to the Grillin' Guys on the new Jethro, Country with a Twist. This is a new platform for us. We've been on the air for 12 years, and we're jumping ship and coming to Jethro. We couldn't take it any longer, but we're happy to be here, and we're talking camping, cooking, and all kinds of crazy.
That's right. So when you do a rotisserie, a couple tips. You're going to put meat on there, and you want it all to be the same size. If you're cutting cubes of beef, you're cutting cubes of chicken. When you run it on the rotisserie, almost like a skewer, right? You want it to cook even, or you're going to get some. Now, if you're cooking a whole chicken, different story. But
yeah.
If you're cooking pieces of meat, you want them about the same size because then they're going to get done at about the same time, and you don't want big chunks of raw
yeah.
chicken and small chunks of overdone chicken.
And I wouldn't get too hung up on that because one thing you're going to be bringing is a set of mitts. You can plan on rotisserie cooking forcing you to pull that thing off several times, and you might have to take the forks off, readjust. You might have to pull a piece of meat off and readjust. Sometimes, because you're probing, you'll take that thing apart a time or two if you have multiple pieces of protein on there, but
yep.
I get you.
All right, well, coming up next, we've got one of our board of directors that I referenced earlier, a guy named Keith Guidry from the Percy Guidry Company.
T-Gid.
T-Gid is his name. He is a Cajun. You're going to enjoy this guy. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats, as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. We're live from the Jethro with a Country Twist Studios, and we're glad to be here. I'm Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, babe?
Hey, thanks, buddy. So we're in our new place and new digs, hanging out with Conrad, who's a country music legend in the Michigan radio market. Been on the radio for probably 30 years, and we're having a good time, and one of my favorite music buddies is down in Lafayette, Louisiana, and he's one of my favorite barbecue buddies, and I miss you, bro. T-Gid!
I miss y'all too, man. I tell you what, we've been busy down here.
Woo-hoo. Man, I got to know you are, because he's in Lafayette, Louisiana, and if our listeners know anything about the weather, he's had a bunch of it down there, and so again, T. Gid, tell us, how'd you fare through that, man?
Well, I mean, God bless us. You know, I mean, last year, Lake Charles, just about, I don't know, 80 miles to the west of us on the border of Texas, Louisiana, they caught two hurricanes. They didn't sure need one. And then we're right in the middle of southern Louisiana, and that thing was coming right at us. Ida was coming right at us, coming off of Cuba. And then I guess with maybe a little frontal, you know, pressure just kind of pushed it a little bit more to the east. And unfortunately, some of our friends out there, you know, around the Venice and Grand Isle and Port Fouchon, and it made its way all the way up in the between. It shot, it's like a perfect goalpost, man, between Baton Rouge and New Orleans. Unfortunately, New Orleans was on the west end of the east end of those winds, and they caught some hell. But you know, we were blessed. It was a beautiful day. I was barbecuing. I think Jop chimed in on a few.
Yeah.
My post, and but you know, our prayers and our love and our hearts are definitely with those who lost a lot, you know.
Yeah, tough man. Amazing what Mother Nature can do.
High risk, high reward. You want to live on the coast, you know. You just that's the dice you roll, you know.
Right.
But,
well, let's talk about some of that reward. What do you think?
Yeah,
Bob?
Well, I just want to let. Wind this boy up and turn him loose on some Cajun.
T. Gid, it's football season. Let's talk a little bit about Cajun tailgate. What are two or three things that always show up on a Cajun tailgate? You guys know,
man,
how to play some football down there.
Well, you know, I think we're spiritually connected, dude, because I tell you, I had a buddy of mine. We tailgated hard for like 15 years, and he had a flash drive. It must have 1,000 pictures on it. And he dropped it off last night, and I stayed up till midnight reminiscing when my kids were young. And dude, the food that we cooked. I mean, I ain't got the energy to go that hard anymore.
Right.
I don't even know how we did it. But, I mean, we did everything from whole hog. We did
That's an aggressive tailgate.
Oh, no, whole hog is God. I mean, we get out there at like 2 o'clock in the morning and let it go all day. And but no, the signature dish, of course, was the crawfish makshu. We do a jambalaya. We did dirty rice. You know, we did the smothered potatoes, chicken wings. You know, pizza. It's what we didn't do. I mean, and for homecoming, we'd even bust out a sack of oysters, and we'd chuck them, and we'd do some grilled oysters. And that was always a fan favorite, but the problem was that I was sucking them down raw before they could get them to the
grill.
They were pissed off at me.
Right. Are you getting those right out of the Gulf?
No, they're in his front yard now due to the wind.
Yeah. Well, Grand Isle is the best place to get the most salty, you know, natural-produced oysters in the Gulf Coast, and unfortunately that hurricane probably did some damage to the oyster beds, but they'll be back. They always are.
Yeah, they're probably over in Tampa right about now.
Yeah. Well, you know, the seafood, the bad news about hurricanes, everybody can purely understand. But the good news about hurricanes, when it comes to, if you're in the outdoors and fishing and all that stuff, is that there's something about a hurricane after it passes, how it just, man, it's like fishing on steroids. I don't know what it is. The crabs are more plentiful. The shrimp are more plentiful. You remember that scene on Forrest Gump when he was the only shrimp boat out there in the Gulf, you know, and he came in with all that shrimp? It's kind of like that, you know, it's just everywhere.
That's
so
funny.
So tell our listeners, Mokshu, I've heard you talk about this before, but we're from the north, and I don't think they're going to know what that is. And it's good, so run us down on that.
I think you can actually even find that recipe at T-Gids on thegrillingguys.com under recipes, because you've done it here, but that's a great one.
Yeah, it's so simple. The reason that I say it's so simple, it's only seven ingredients, really. And it's a method, you know, and you just got to practice and perfect the method of when to introduce each ingredient. And
I think
it's everything from whole kernel corn to onions and bell pepper and tasso, sweet kernel corn, heavy whipping cream. And of course, you know, your favorite seafood. You could use crawfish, you could use shrimp, you could use crab meat.
But that's it.
I mean,
the tough thing us Northerners have is making a good roux.
Oh. What was the thought about that?
Because you said it's methodical, and there's a technique. There's a technique to making roux. Am I wrong?
No, you're definitely right. I mean, vivid. This is like burned into my brain. The first time I ever made a roux, I must have been like 16 years old, and I couldn't get anybody on the phone. Like my mom had passed away, but my dad, I couldn't get him on the phone. You know, my grandma, I couldn't get nobody on. I called one of my, Greg, you know, T-Gidge, one of my brother's best friends, Troy Broussard, and I got him on the phone. I said, T-Bruce, like, I got this thing going. It's bubbling. He said, look, it was like he was helping me land the plane. You know, I was stressed out. You know, I was like, he said, don't sit down. Don't sit down. You got to keep stirring it. Turn the fire down. Turn the fire up. You know, but the secret to making a roux, you know, they say that it's 50%, you know, oil or fat. You know, you could use different types of oil, and 50% regular refined flour. But I find that mixture is a little bit too runny. So if you start off 50-50 and you put it in a black iron pot and you put it on a high fire, and once it starts bubbling like lava, you start turning the fire down, keep stirring, and it's going to be real runny. So don't feel bad if you got to like take about a quarter cup of more flour and just kind of, you know, fan it in there and then stir it in. You wanted the consistency of like peanut butter that maybe is like a little bit on the warm side. You know, you don't want it runny. You don't want it sticking to your spoon like you got to shake it off of your spoon. But you want it pretty thick. But the thing is, once you hit that tempo, you just got to keep stirring, and know that the color is going to keep cooking. So if you get to like a peanut butter color, and you want more of a milk chocolate color, you know, you got to know when to turn the fire off and just keep stirring and let it cool off naturally. And you'll see it. At the end, you think, man, I think it's like twice as dark as I thought it would be. So it's just getting the hang of it. But the secret is, don't sit down and keep your fire right and keep stirring. Don't let it stick to the bottom.
Hey, if you just tuned in, you're listening to the Grilling Guys on the new Jethro. And we're talking to T-Gid. He's one of our few remaining board of directors. One passed away, and one's has a very bad health condition, so he's not able to join us. But so we're going to have to lean on T-Gid a little heavy. But when you watch me live streaming and I'm grilling on that Cajun grill, that came from this man on the phone right here. Him and his brother have a business called what?
Percy Gidry's Hearth and Patio, baby.
Yeah, good stuff. So these are charcoal grills, right?
Yeah, strictly charcoal. We don't do gas. Right. We believe in the flavor and the tempo of a natural wood fire. And it comes in different sizes and, you know, stainless steel or regular carbon black steel. We got a lot of new stuff coming out. Actually, the black ones we hadn't made in a while, but We're working on getting that made back out.
Mine's 10 years old, and it's still just beautiful. That's a lifetime grill.
I think the black ones actually cook a little bit slower.
Buddy?
Different tempo than the stainless.
It's so fun being with you, and we're out of time.
Damn it.
Thanks, T-Gid. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah. Well, hey, you've been listening to Grilling Guys on Jethro 94.9 and 99.5 in Bob's hometown of Lowell, Michigan. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week, and we look forward to talking to you next week. See ya!